ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाई ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाई मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी who I am engaged in the pursuit of the self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have taken up the study of the Pancha Agni Vidya. And we also should remember the story. There was a king called Pravahana Jaivali. He was very famous as a knower of Saguna Brahman. And there was one Shvetaketu, and he was the son of Gautama, and he wanted to learn something. Definitely he wanted to learn something. So he approached this Pravahana Jaivali, and the king understood, and he asked him 5 questions. The essence of the 5 questions is, first, these points we have already discussed, but we must recollect every time we hear a talk, and it is very closely connected with the previous talk. In Brahma Sutras, this is called Sangati. Sangati means what is the connection between the previous sentence and the present sentence and the future sentence. What is the connection between the previous paragraph and the paragraph which I am now pursuing? What is the connection between the previous chapter and this chapter? So, if we can question this way, how did I spend my time? So, what did I do? What was my previous action? What is my present action? And definitely, the eye of wisdom is likely to open if we question ourselves. A point, there are 2 problems here. First problem is, we feel uncomfortable because we know we are cheating ourselves. So we do not wish even to put the questions because we intuit the answers. I am not going to answer properly, but we have to answer. What am I doing with my life? What did I do in the past? And what were the result of what I did in the past? And what is it that I really want? And what is the connection between what I am doing and what I wish to do, or I more, even better, what I wish to become? And everyone wishes to become healthy, happy, and prolong this Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So, these are the questions we have to ask. These are the questions. These are the essence of what this Pravahana Jaivali wanted to ask of Shvetaketu. But like in the Chandogya Upanishad, here also he was arrogant. He thought he was very intelligent. He knew everything. Probably he came with the idea, this king is ignorant and I would like to teach this king certain things. And of course, in return, he might give me some money or some cows, etc. Without expectation, no one would really go to anybody else. Anyway, now the tables have been turned. Now instead of trying to teach, now he was forced to become a disciple. We are not sure whether he became a disciple. Certainly, the father of Shvetaketu, called Gautama, definitely he was a very humble person and he did not know about these things. So, probably a father of the Shvetaketu, about whom we discussed in the Chandogya 6th chapter, is totally different. Because there, he was a knower of Brahman. But here, he doesn't even know about what is life about. We will explore these things as the story continues. So this, for what purpose the Shvetaketu came, we are not sure. Seeing the king received him very respectfully, and then he asks 5 questions. And we have to ask 5 questions. And maybe, in a way, we can connect them with the 5 commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. But in case we do not know what are these 5 commandments, we might formulate them in the form of 5 questions. What is the first question? What is the purpose? What is the goal of human life? And what should I do? How should I conduct my life in order to reach this goal as taught by rishis, wise people, or avataras, or say Ramakrishna, etc. So the first thing is, what shall I do? So that is the first answer Sri Ramakrishna gives, cultivate holy company. Second, but distractions come, all right. So now and then, go, detach yourself, go into solitude and dive deep. And then the third question comes, but when I go to solitude, when I sit for meditation, things become more or less clear. But then when I am engaged in the normal day-to-day activities, I get confused. So Sri Ramakrishna answers, always continue to discriminate what is temporary and what is permanent. Viveka. Then lastly, M himself asks, how should we conduct our householder's life? And that is where Sri Ramakrishna says, live a detached life. And the example Sri Ramakrishna gives is like a maid servant living in a rich man's house, doing everything, but even using employing words as if she belonged to the house and the children there are her own children. She does everything like a mother does, but at the same time, she is 100% aware that her home is not this home, and I'm only staying here temporarily. Any time I may be kicked out, and we should interpret it, this body mind is our house, and in this life this is our house, and we should live like a maid servant. That means cultivate as much detachment as possible, because any time Yamadharma Raja might come and take us away. This samsara chakra is going to go on. So when Shvetaketu was asked 5 questions, do you know anything about life? Do you know what happens after death? Do you know where people go after death? Do you know at all whether people go anywhere after death? Do you know that there is, whether life continues even after death? And if so, where do they go? And what happens after they go there? Do they remain permanently? Or do they again return back? And after returning, how do they return? What is the process by which they return? That means, how does a jiva gets birth? And after death, where does he go? So, the whole point, the essence of this Panchagni Vidya is, whole life should be converted into a yajna. Oh, yajna. Yajna means what, sir? Yajna means sacrifice. What is sacrifice? That is removal of the I, reduction of the I or egotism as much as possible by replacing with God, with something higher, permanent. That is called sacrifice. So when we are eating food, we are reminded. And this is what most devotees, especially devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, are supposed to do, and most of them do it. They do it Brahmarpanam, loudly, or Upangshup, that is, lips moving, or mentally, and without thinking what they are supposed to do. In fact, we are doing the sacrifice all the time. What is the problem? My ego or egotism becomes the fire. And unto this fire, what are you doing? I am seeing, I am hearing all the five sense organs. This is my body. My body is meant to make me happy. My mind is meant to make me happy. My sleep is meant to make me happy. All the three states that we experience one after the other are meant to make me happy, to make me live longer, and to give me that awareness that I am a very happy person. We are doing that sacrifice. But because we are alpashaktiman, of little power, alpagna, of little knowledge, so we cannot be the destination. But if I can somehow merge myself by surrendering, by practicing spiritual disciplines with God, in other words, by becoming God Himself, by identifying with God, Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam, that is the essence of the Bhakta Sharanagati or the Jnanis, Aham Brahmasmi. The end result is exactly the same. So if I can remove the duality, me separate, God is separate, He is big, I am small, etc., then I will cross over three limitations. Limitation of asat, limitation of achit, limitation of dukkha. And that is the essence, whether we know it or not. Then what is spiritual life? Consciously trying to align ourselves, to become one with God, is called spiritual life. Pursuing an unconscious life, that is called a secular life, a worldly life. But the problem with the secular life is that even if I live a pure life, it will take a long time for me to become awakened. Even if I live a dharmic life, righteous life, even if I acquire lot of what is called punyam, then also the result will be temporary only. But it helps us to purify our mind. To live a righteous life means we become gradually pure. And as we discussed, purity is equivalent to detachment. In Taittiriya especially, avrujinaha, akamahataha, shrotriyaha. And a person who has become a akamahataha, one who doesn't have any desires. And how does a man become desireless? Because an unhappy person cannot say, I am desireless. A person who feels, I am apurna, I am not infinite, I am very limited, he can never become happy. So even if he gives up out of hopelessness, out of despair, his unhappiness will continue to possess him. make his life miserable life. But if the same person says, my father is God, my mother is God, or God is my father and mother and guru and everybody, sarvam tvameva mama deva deva, then that person, he will be filled with that infinite bliss. So, every one of us, if we can awaken, that is what is Swami Vivekananda used to roar like a lion, uttishtata jagrata prapya varan nibodhata. So, what is the essence of this Panchagni Vidya? The essence is, let us slowly convert our life into a sacrifice. Sacrifice means removing something. Like a surgeon removes an extra growth, whether it is cancerous growth or whatever. And this Maya is that cancerous growth. And by God's grace, Guru's grace, God comes in the form of the Guru, God comes in the form of complete faith in the scriptures, and he does it surgical operation. There is no other way. But sometimes he puts us under anesthesia. Sometimes he does it the same thing without anesthesia. So we have to pray, kindly put some anesthesia. But it will take long time. But without anesthesia, that is called misery. And misery is the reflection of the love of God. Anyway, so we must convert our life into Brahmarpanam. That is the idea. And connected with that idea is there is nothing called death. Third idea, myself and the whole universe. We are not separate. We are one and the same. The subject itself becomes the object. The object is nothing but the subject. Only slight manifestations, that's all. So we become both subject and object. And again, to understand this properly, I, the one being, when I enter into this state of dream, I become both the subject as well as the object. But when I wake up, I fall into the error that I am separate, my parents are separate, my friends are separate, my possessions are separate, my body is separate, mind is separate, everything is separate. No, when we are talking about Brahman, whether Nirguna Brahman or even better Saguna Brahma, it means the Saguna Brahma is manifesting. I do not exist, you do not exist, nothing else exists. It is a Brahman. Brahman, when manifested in the form of names and forms, is called Saguna Brahman. And the world without names and forms is called Nirguna Brahma. We have to keep these beautiful teachings in our mind. So, the king asked first 5 questions. We will come to that. And then he explains, this Shvetaketu, he went back red-faced, feeling very hurt and very proud, arrogant, and complains because the king also asks 5 questions. And then, do you know this? Do you know this? Etc. And for each question, Shvetaketu replies, no, I do not know. But very respectfully, Bhagavan, I do not know. I do not know. 5 times he replies. Then, the king teases Shvetaketu. Then, when I asked you, have you been taught well? You proudly replied, yes, yes, I have been taught very well. And by my own father. What did you learn then? So, he came and challenged his father. This worst of the kings is only a king in name, but his character indicates he is not fit. Rajanya Bandhuhu. He asked me 5 questions. I was not able to answer even one single question. Then his wrath turns against his father. You told me that you taught me well, but you did not teach me this one. A father, let us look at what the father says. My son, had I known, I would have taught you. But I myself do not know, just like you, even how to answer, let alone answer 5 questions. Even 1 question I cannot answer. Humbly admits, humility is the greatest qualification of a pupil, a student. Then that humility says, I must learn, I must sit at the feet of this king. He is my guru, even though I am a Brahmana. But I should not allow this caste honor to come in the way of my learning. That is why it is said in Sanskrit, even from the mouth of a babe, Brahma Vakyam, Bala Vakyam. Telugu, there is a beautiful saying, sometimes the highest truth comes from the mouths of babes. And even in English language it is there. So, humbly he approaches. There is no mention of Shvetaketu there. And then the king received him very respectfully. And then he asks, certainly you have come to me. You have something to ask of me. Anything that is in the form of money, or cows, or lands, or gold, I am prepared to give. Because the king was very intelligent. He suspected the father came after the son went away, very angrily upset. So, the father must have come to question me about this thing. Probably he guessed. So, he specifically says, anything that is manusham vittam, that is human wealth. Then Gautama, very humbly he says, no, I do not want all these things. But you, when my son approached you put 5 questions to him. He was not able to answer. I taught him. I was not able to teach because I myself do not know. I am a sincere student. I want to learn sitting at your feet. In those days, it was against the custom. Brahmins were supposed to be Brahmavit, Naira Brahman. But Kshatriyas were supposed to sit. But then, as Swami Vivekananda points out, some of the greatest Upanishads have come only from the Kshatriyas. So, it is not the custom. So, he says, please stay for some time. And the king wanted to find out how sincere, because our capacity to learn depends upon our humility. Humility means vacating our own ideas, especially egotism, and humbly receiving from whatever source something higher comes. That is called humility. That is why Ramanujacharya has the 6th qualification for those who want to practice Sharanagati. It says, Karpanye. Karpanya means with the greatest humility. I have been able to surrender myself to God all because of God's grace, not on my own. As Girish Chandra Ghosh used to say, it is the same thing. It is Sri Ramakrishna, out of his infinite grace, had taken up. He had made me accept him or surrender myself to him. It is because of his grace I was able to surrender myself to him. So this is the truth. Nobody can surrender to God because egotism is the manifestation of Maya. Maya comes in the form of egotism. Maya comes in the form of I. And as Sri Ramakrishna says, Maya comes in the form of a cloud. Even if God himself is sitting in front of me, I will not be able to see. I cannot see because of that small covering, which is covering not God, which is covering my eye. So, Gautama passed the examination. The king understood. He had no hesitation. And he taught him. And this is what is going to come in about from the 3rd section to almost to the 10th section, 8 sections. One of the most marvelous vidyas is this Panchagna Vidya, and it deserves the high respect that it gets from everybody. So, this story highlights that this Panchagna Vidya was previously unknown even to Brahmins, and it was passed down by a philosopher king. Philosopher is not a Western philosopher, he is an Indian philosopher. What is an Indian philosopher? A rishi who practiced. I am not referring to the university and college professors. We are talking a person who really contemplates either Hayagriva, as we have seen in the case of Yajnavalkya. He worshipped Bhagavan Brahman as Hayagriva. Hayagriva means, Griva means the neck, like a horse, Surya Deva. And from Surya Deva, he got that marvelous another equivalent Upanishad called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So there are two Brihadaranyaka Upanishads. One belonging to Krishna Yajurveda, another belonging to the Shukla Yajurveda. Fortunately for us, a difference is not too much. Only a few mantras here and there, but the content is absolutely the same. So this is called Panchagni Vidya. So what does it mean? So this Panchagni Vidya is a upasana. And let us never forget, upasana is something we have to sit and practice it, meditate upon it, until we become the knowledge. I am a possessor of knowledge is a wrong idea. That is what every professor, every teacher, that is the idea. I know physics, I know psychology, I know medicine. But here it means I have become the knowledge. And that once knowledge becomes us, knowledge takes over us. And it will not allow us to do anything else. So this doctrine explains the cycle of birth and rebirth as a series of five sacrificial fires. These are not physical fires, but symbolic stages of transformation. What is the first fire? It is called heaven or Swargaloka. So the sun is the sacred stick. We will talk about it actually later on. So those who have performed some great punyam by leading a Shruti Sammati Jivana, that which is approved by the scriptures, he will earn lot of punyam, virtue, and then he goes, according to the amount of punyam, he goes to higher and higher worlds. But then, these results are very temporary, like staying in a middle class hotel, high class hotel, first class hotel, 7-star hotel, 77-star hotel. Imagine like that. But even if a person is staying in the 7-star hotel, the amount that the person pays, that decides how long he is permitted to be there. Then he has to come back. What he has to do? Again he has to earn sufficient fee so that he can afford either that heaven fees or some other fees. That is why Nachiketa says, even if Yamadharmaraja, you Yamadharmaraja, even if you are in charge of man's life and will not take me away, but you never mentioned that I am not going to stay the same youth. Body will never stay in the same condition. We have to understand. So you may not come and claim me, but the body will attain its natural course. Day by day it becomes old. Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. As we age, our sense organs become weaker and weaker. They lose the capacity to squeeze the same amount of rasa or happiness, pleasure, joy from the same objects. The objects may be the same, but our capacity to enjoy them becomes weaker and weaker. Therefore, tavaiva vahaha, tava nritya geeteye. Therefore, all these women, all these chariots, all these kingdoms, all this wealth, all these beautiful women, that is, enjoyable objects, let them be yours, because even Yamadharma Raja cannot grant us. You will remain unchanged. Time will stop for you. That is not possible. So that is how we have to understand that life
day by day. One day gone is one day gone. That's why Sri Ramakrishna, when he did not have the vision of the Divine Mother, at the end of the day, he used to fall down on the earth and weep piteously, "Oh Mother, another day is gone, and yet I have not obtained your vision." What was Sri Ramakrishna's thought? Not that another day is gone, but I have got another day, so I start again next morning and go on weeping for you. No, maybe this is the last, maybe today death will encounter me. And we have to understand, death will never come tomorrow. Death will always come today. You ask any dying man, are you dying now, today, or are you going to die tomorrow? No person will reply, "So, death is coming today, but I will die tomorrow." What will you do? You are going to entertain as a house guest and then keep him. So, it is only that day only people will die, that moment, that hour, that minute, that millisecond only death will come. And everything in this world is subject to death only. But what is death? Is it non-existence? No. It is a change. And do you remember every change that happened? Do you remember whatever you, what tantrums you have given to your parents when you were a child? What you did? How much grief you have caused them? Which they, out of their love, forgave? Do you remember? No. So how much misery we are causing to other people, albeit unconsciously, nobody knows about it. So, there is no death. It is continuous change. Birth is a change, death is a change, growth is a change. It is a continuous series of change, which is called limitation of time. And as time limits, automatically it also becomes limitation of space. A baby who is only 3 inches, and next year he will be 4 inches. So the difference between 3 inches and 4 inches is called desha paricheda, space limitation. So death also is nothing but a limitation. Limitation doesn't mean non-existence, but it is a change. So the whole universe is nothing but time, in the grip of time. That is why appropriately, time is called mrityu. And some languages, they say, kal hoyeche. That means, the time has come. That is what we have to understand. So, what happens when a person becomes virtuous? He goes to heaven, and certain ways are mentioned. One is called Shukla Gati, another is called Krishna Gati. The bright path and the dark path. So, Shukla Paksha, Krishna Paksha, etc., etc., etc. So, when he goes, he stays there for some time until his merit is exhausted, and then he has to return back. How does he return? So, he becomes one with the clouds, and then the clouds become rain, and the rain comes down, and rain nourishes the earth. Therefore, food grows, and the food is eaten by the male, and out of the best, the very essence of the entire physical body, the seed of the male called semen is produced. And finally, that has to be mixed with the seed of the woman. One is called Shukla. If it is man, it is called Shukna. And another is called Shonita. Shonita means blood. Ovum. Egg. When these two become mixed up, again the baby starts growing, and which womb, not any Tom, Dick, Harry's womb, but according to his karma phala, what he had done before going to Swargaloka, it is only very temporary stay. Then he will be reborn. That is why Kshine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti Evam Trayi Dharmam Anuprapanna Gatagatam Kama Kama Lavante. As I mentioned many times, Bhagavad Gita is the very essence of every Upanishad. All these central ideas found in every Upanishad, important Upanishads, has been milked out of these Upanishads and presented in a simple language, which we now call Bhagavad Gita, the most popular scripture for the modern world, the song of the Lord. Gita means a song. Not only it is pleasant to hear, but it is highly beneficial. And Krishna himself has milked the very essence of the Upanishads and he presented. And as I mentioned many times, essence of the Vedas is the Upanishads. Essence of the Upanishads is Bhagavad Gita. Essence of the Bhagavad Gita is the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. And the essence of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is the very first chapter of the Gospel. And the essence of the first chapter of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is the five commandments. And of the five commandments, the first commandment, which is the goal of life, is God realization. This is the essence. That is the essence of Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat, which we have discussed earlier, Gayatri Upasana. So the first Agnihotra is Swarga. And we have to return when the time comes. And the Jiva, he comes back after enjoying, becomes one with the cloud. Cloud means rain. That is the second fire. And that fire is also, what is called this rain is also called a sacrifice, yagna. Swarga is a yagna. And rain, vrishti, parjanya, that is also yagna. And the rain falls on this earth. So that is called this bhumi, prithivi. That is also a sacrifice. How much the earth is conceived in our Puranas as Bhudevi. So how much this Bhudevi is contributing, sustaining, and we are misusing, not allowing other creatures to be nourished by her, like depriving some children for the sake of one's own selfishness. And then the earth manifests in the form of food by the growth of plants, trees, fruits, roots, etc. And in so many forms, in solid form, liquid form, chewable form, that is what we call in Sanskrit, pancha bhakshya. Five types of foods. Some are to be sucked, some are to be liquid, some are to be drunk, some are to be chewed, etc., etc. So, then the fourth fire is a man, that is the male. And what does he do? He eats this food, grows healthily, and when the time comes, Prakruti, the nature, goes to work, and she squeezes every part of the physical body. Remember, no parents give birth to the samskaras. Parents give birth only to the physical housing. The samskaras, they belong to the each individual soul according to what he cultivated in the past life. So, the male is the fourth yajna, and it is a yajna. Though people think, I am doing it for my joy, but actually it is nature which is making this person. That is what in a great modern scientist, he said that nature asks every being to multiply into its own species. And then the jiva asks, especially human being, you want me to propagate my species? Yes, yes. What do I get from you? Okay, then Prakruti thought, this man will not do, obey me, unless I reward him. So he says, I will give you highest pleasure, intense pleasure. Man said, okay, now I will do it. So both for man as well as for the woman. So that is how propagation takes place. That is why this urge for propagation is called the highest pleasure, intensest pleasure, because the very essence of this entire body is put into that seed. That is why scientists, they develop, whether it is a bull or a buffalo or a dog any animal, the best specimen of these animals, so that the offspring also will be the best specimen and with differing qualities. Some are so fierce, some are so loving, etc., etc. No difference between human being, but important point to remember, parents only give birth to the physical body, which is the Deho Devalayo Proktaha. So it is called the highest temple, and it is called Brahmapuri, as we have seen in the Upanishads, in the Chandogya Upanishad itself. And then the man cannot by himself do it. He has to have union with the woman. And the woman is called whatever we offer. That is called offering, oblation. And the woman, a grown-up person, in the age of child-bearing capacity, into that woman, the Purusha, he sacrifices, he offers his seed, and that becomes mixed up with the woman's own seed. So the woman is called the final vehicle through which the jiva, who attained whichever loka, swarga or naraka, again he is given a choice. Until he knows who he is, this process goes on. Therefore, important lesson for us to learn is that there is nothing called death. It is until we realize God, this evolution has to continue. That is the most important point. So what is the conclusion? The story concludes with the soul being born from the fifth fire, only to live until the destined time, and then return through the same cycle, starting again with the first fire of Swargaloka. But the Upanishad takes for granted everybody is living a virtuous life, which doesn't correspond to the fact. So a person may be a murderer, a cheater, a robber, a torturer, so he will go. But then, unlike some religions, they go to eternal hell. No. Everybody will be given a choice. Punishment is only teaching a lesson that you should not repeat this one. So this teaching shows the interconnectedness of the entire universe and the cyclical nature of life, death and rebirth through the two-path doctrine of transmigration. What is this two-path? Shukla Gati and Krishna Gati. And this comes, the story comes, Panchagni Vidya comes in Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, beginning from the 3rd section, and in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 6th chapter. So, this Vidya is a profound meditation. Meditation here means Upasana. Upasana means an attempt to approach God nearer and nearer. So, this Upasana Vidya, Panchagni Vidya, explains the cycle of life, death and rebirth by viewing the entire universe and the human experience as a continuous series of 5 interconnected sacrificial fires or altars. So very quickly, I want to summarize this. What are the 5 concepts that we have? Universe, that means our life, is a yajna. Second, even if we go, whether to heaven or hell, we have to come back again to this earth for further evolution. So that is called the path of descent. And then through experience, life after life, wisdom, and we get wisdom. So then we also strive for liberation. And then this knowledge or upasana is intended to create detachment. And once we are convinced of this going up and coming down, and this endless circle of samsara, then slowly vairagya will grow. That is called detachment from samsara and generate a desire for moksha. And the last point is, even there were some kshatriyas who were great men of wisdom and knowledge, and whether it is a brahmana or a kshatriya, so one must sit humbly at the feet of what we don't know and learn from them and practice them. This is the essence. From next class onwards, we will dive deep into the original mantras themselves. And once we try to do that, surprisingly, we find many instances, events that have taken place in the life of the Holy Trio flash into our minds. Oh, this was what Swami Vivekananda, Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, they mean by this incident. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.